Clayburg Avenue here in Kingsville, Texas. After working some 30-odd years with Humble Auto and Refining Company, Mr. McDougall is now retired. He has been called the father of square dancing here in South Texas because of his work in and with square dancing in this area. These are his observations.
Tell us about your early family life.
Well, I was born in Collin County, West Branch, Texas. Graduated from high school there and went to Sherman, Texas and graduated from high school there. Small school, didn't have a, wasn't affiliated. I went to Sherman graduation and I went to college 1 year and that's the extent of my schooling. Went to work in the oil field then. been working in oil fields ever since until I retired in 1965.
Who did you work for?
I worked for Alma Loma Banker.
And when were you born?
1910.
1910.
Yeah.
How and when did you get interested in square dancing?
Well, I got interested in square dancing in 1949. I was living in Kingsville. Rumble had what we call a camp out north of Kingsville. We had a big recreation hall and sort of thing. And square dancing was getting started about then down in this area. I got interested in it, and that was it. Learned how to dance out there.
Was it basically people that worked for Rumble?
Mostly, yes. We organized this club that most all of the folks worked for Rumble. That's where I got my feet wet. Started calling. We didn't have very many callers back in those days.
Did you learn how to square dance first and then call, or to get both together, or what?
Well, yes, learn how to yes or know how to square dance before you can call. I think that's one of the main things. Learn how to dance yourself before you ever try to call.
How long have you been dancing before you started calling?
Oh, I've danced about 6 months, I guess. There's several of us. You know. I went off to a square dance school there out in Rio Dulce, New Mexico, to try to learn a little bit more about my calling and everything, and learned a lot out there. I've been calling ever since then.
What can you tell us about the history of square dancing, how it started?
Well, this modern Western square dancing started out in Colorado Springs. It was Dr. Lloyd Shaw started it, I think, back in 1939. He's got a book out on, he called it Cowboy Dancing, back in 1939. But it didn't take hold down in this part of the country, in South Texas, until about 1949, the first of 1949. And at that time, everybody wanted to learn how to square dance. So we had a lot of more square dancers then than we do now. At that time, it didn't take but very long to learn how to square dance. We didn't have so very many basic movements at that time. It didn't take too long to learn how to do all of our 21 basics, we called them at that time.
What is square dancing?
Well, I've been asked that a lot of times. I always say it's fun, put the music. I think that's about as good an answer. That's just what it is. Everybody that ever square dance, I know, always enjoy it. All types of people do square dance. But when they all get together, they're all just one big group. We have doctors and Tommy's professors and ditch diggers and everything all out there in the same class or same dance, and we all dance together. It's just friendship. It's friendship.
Well, are there any basic steps involved?
Oh, yes. Yes, we have a it's not so much the steps in square dancing as it is the doing, executing the figures. Of course, we have these steps where you don't hop and skip around. We just kind of glide around in a smooth step, like in a promenade. We always use a little gliding step around but as I say, it's mostly these learning how to execute these figures and the car gives you. We don't stress so much on the steps.
Is there a shuffle involved in it?
Well, no, not necessarily. That's in some places, that's for kind of an exhibition, a shuffle step. But you couldn't dance all night the way we dance and do that shuffle step. That's because that's too tiring. We just use a little gliding step, keep our feet close to the ground or the floor, and just a little gliding step around.
How is square dancing different from other folk dances such as the polka and the shottish and barn dancing?
Well, square dancing, of course, it takes four couples to make a square, and they execute these different figures with a car, whereas these folk dances or shottishes or couple dancing, they call it, that's just two people doing these different steps to music. Of course, you dance to the music with square dancing too, with the music and to the car. And of course, the car is supposed to stay with the music. But these others are just these couple dances, folk dances, are just two people involved. They're doing these different steps, whereas it takes the four couples to do a square.
Is it only four couples? Is it going to be more? Is it going to be more than four?
Well, we have these kind of oddball squares, so we can put six or eight in a square. Just kind of fun mixing it up a little bit, but ordinarily it takes four couples to square the way we dance all the time.
How is square dancing different from round dancing? I heard you mention that.
Well, that round dancing is what we call, some of them call it round dancing, and couple dancing is just the same thing, is it? And as I say, it's done to with two people. Of course, they'll be in a big circle. They might be 50 couples in a big circle there, and they might, some of these round dances, they advance around and dance with different partners, you know. And that's the difference in that and square dancing.
What type of music was used in square dancing in the past?
Well, just this regular old hoedown music was what we used in years ago, and we still use it. Of course, nowadays they've got these singing calls now you know, these modern singing calls, we adapt a figure to that and use a singing call. And that's one of the kind of music we use, that and just regular old hoedown. Just like an example of this raindrop keep falling and gentle on my mind and going down that long, lonesome highway. And songs like that, we put a figure to those and time it out and phrase it out where we can, you know, the dancers can dance to it.
In the past, was the music basically supplied by a fiddler, or was it a band, or what?
Well, yes, we used to have, back when square dancing first started, we had these one or two piece bands, a fiddle, a guitar, and a bass fiddle, and about three pieces, or sometimes two pieces. But nowadays, you hardly ever hear of a square dance band anymore, because they, on account of these singing calls, they can't keep up with all these new tunes and everything. And it's pretty expensive to hire a band to play for a square dance, too. So we just use what we call canned music. We just buy these records with the old down pieces on them. And these singing calls, we call them, they're flip records, what we call flip records. We've got the instrumental on one side and the calls on the other side. That's the kind of music all the square dancers use now.
What kind of, are there any particular costumes that the people that square dance wear?
Well, yes, yeah, they do. They, men generally always wear the square dance shirts and pants and boots, or we have what we call a square dance slipper. It's, you know, it's kind of a high heel. And the girls, of course, they wear these flashy dresses and pretty pants and so forth. It's really a sight to see of 65 or 70 squares out there together. It's a different color you'll see. Of course, these costumes mostly are all kind of loud, and it's a beautiful sight to see a bunch of square dancers out there, and there'll be all these different colors.
I noticed that when I went to your dance that quite a few of the couples had on matching shirts and dresses.
Right.
Yeah,
some clubs have their own, red or purple, or and the men have purple pants and purple shirts, the girls have purple dresses and red and whatever color the club selects.
What type of people square dance?
Well, just all types of people square dance. I've never met anybody that I didn't like in square dancing. If they square dancers, they're good folks, I always say. And you meet people in all professions. Doctors, lawyers, and of course all these chemical workers and oil field workers and college people in all walks of life. And that's one thing about square dancing that brings people together more than any one type of entertainment that I know of.
Why do they
quit
over some other form of activity?
Well, it's just a lot of fun. They get started at it, and they like it, and they enjoy it. It's also good exercise, but they enjoy it, and they enjoy meeting all these different people. And they have a lot of fun square dancing, so square dancing is a lot of fun.
Is it very strenuous?
It is to a certain extent. Some of our people have to kind of slow down and not. You go out there and try to dance every tip. Tip is a singing call and a patter call. Some of them, people with a heart condition or something, can't dance all of them. They have to sit out one every once in a while. But it's good exercise. And
Could you tell us about the different organizations that we've had here in Kingsville and in the past and in the present?
Well, we used to here. This sounds kind of like square dancing is fading out, but it's really not. We used to have 6 square dance clubs here in Kingsville, and now we have 2. We have our square dance club that meets here at Clayburg Park every Friday night. It's a sports club that sits better than 20 years old. We have another club that meets up at the American Legion Hall. It's the Bishop. They have been organized a little over a year now. It's Kingsville and Bishop people. But we all, you know, go to each other's dances. Most of the members belong to both clubs. And but this club here that meets at the county park is that club's better than 20 years old. That's the one that I've kind of helped organize. It was originally an humble club and the railroad. We combined. We had 2 clubs. One of them was a Fast Air and one other was a Whirler, so we combined and named it the Fast Air and Whirler Club. And it's been operating ever since. And I've been calling for that club for ever since it was organized. All but about a year that I moved up to a good though. Organized 2 clubs up there while I was up there. And it's an active club. We have a lot of turnovers. We have a lot of Navy people belong to it. Maybe couples are here for a year or 2 and then they're gone. They come in here and they learn how to dance and leave. We hardly ever get anyone in here that already knows how to dance. We teach them how to dance and get them real interested in it. And I've heard a lot of people say they hated Kingsville until they started square dancing. Now they all hated to leave Kingsville after they got started square dancing. I think that kind of speaks for square dancing itself.
Do people come to the local dance from other towns other than Kingsville and Bishop?
Oh yeah, we have visitors down here. They call the Chamber of Commerce. A lot of people coming through here we've got a kind of what we call a national directory. Square Dance magazines that give somebody's phone number here in Kingsville and they'll call here. Just for instance, last week we had some people from Michigan and Oklahoma down here. They passing through going down the Valley, and they stop by and dance with us. And these camper trailers and everything, they just spent the night out there at the park. But we have visitors from all over the United States.
Your wife mentioned something about a rivalry that you had with other clubs, particularly the one in Alice, where the would take their banner back and forth between the towns.
Oh yeah, we have that in all of the clubs. It's a banner with our name of our club on it, and if a club comes from some other town with a 1 square, they have to have 1 square, they will steal their banner, they call it. And then in turn, they have to get up a square and go back after it. Like in Corpus, if a square comes from a club over at Corpus, they come over here and get our banner, and to get our banner back, we've got to take a square over to their club. So that creates a lot of interest and brings in a lot of visitors that way too.
What do you think there is in the immediate future for square dancing? Will it continue to thrive?
I think so. I do. Some of the people that square dancing is getting more complicated every day. The people that square dance a lot, they like a challenge, of course, and some of them don't. And it's kind of hard for a caller to figure out just what to do. But if you're going to do square dance, I think we ought to keep up with the latest figures and everything. And I think the square dancing is going to survive all right. I believe it's got a great future. I think square dancing is here to stay.
What is the function of the caller?
Well, he's of course just like he runs the dance out there. If I go out there on Friday night, I call the dance, and of course you have to kind of plan what you're going to call, and you've got a lot of pretty good dancers where you can kind of call to the floor, and you just kind of use your judgment on what to call and what not to call. You've got a bunch of new couples that's just learning how to dance. You've got to kind of take it easy with them and not give them these too complicated figures, you know. But clubs, they have their officers. They have a president and a vice president and a secretary and a treasurer. They vote on what they want to do and parties and this and that. And the caller, he just, of course, if they want my opinion on something, I'll give it to them, but I don't try to run the club. I don't think a caller should interfere with the way the club runs. If they want to hire another caller for a special dance, well, I think that's the club's, that's their business. If they want to go out and hire another car to call it, as I say, a special dance, they, of course, most of these clubs have a regular caller. But it's, like I say, it's his responsibility to keep the floor going and try to keep everybody happy.
How do you go about calling the dance?
Well, I just, as I said a while ago, we do a patter call and a singing call, and that's called a tip. And a singing call lasts about 4.5 to 5 minutes, and a patter call, it can go on till the caller gets tired or the dancers give out. Most times the patter call runs 5 or 6 minutes, and that's called a tip, about 12 minutes. And we generally call about, out here, 8 or 9 tips a night, and that's about enough. Of course, you go to a dance and they dance at 12 o'clock, we try to do about 20 or 22 of numbers.
What is the difference between a singing call and a patter call?
Well, a patter call, you kind of just make it up yourself. You take a bunch of these figures and look at your dancers. That's the way I do, and patter to this old whole damn music. And a singing call, of course, is timed and phrased and to these certain tunes. And you just kind of sing along with that. Anybody that can hear a tune can do these singing calls. They're not hard, because if you've got pretty good memory, just memorize them. But a patter call is more of a challenge on these patter calls than the singing call. Because a singing call, you do the same thing over and over and over. But on a patter call, you can change it up, do this and do that, and put in just as many figures in there, different figures as you want to.
Would you give us some examples of calling and then explain to us what some of the terminology means?
Girl on your left, take her left hand and your left hand and walk around and then come back and face your partner. If you want to do an Alaman right with her, well, just take her right hand, your right hand, and walk around it.
How about corner swing?
Well, that means the corner. Your corner is your left-hand lady. And you say corner swing. Most of our singing calls, you'll, in this particular piece, if we just did your corner swing, that means the girl on your left, you swing her and promenade her. She becomes your new partner. Corner swing. That means just what it means, a waist swing or ballroom swing, swinger and promenade her home.
How about do-si-do?
Do-si-do, that means that's you face a certain person, your partner or whoever the caller says face, and walk around them right shoulder to right shoulder. Walk around each other, right shoulder to right shoulder.
And do-si-style?
Well, that Dixie style, that's another basic. Most of the time, the ladies will do what we call a chain, and then the men will take that opposite lady, left hand and his left hand, and then the men will go into the middle with and join right hand. That's one of our basics.
I'd like to thank you for this interview.
I'm glad to do it, Ken. Hope it's what you wanted.